in part by a grant from Horene's Pianos Plus, your Steinway piano showroom in Bloomington. Horene's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, and other fine pianos. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Orange Taxi, a new taxi company providing services to the U of I campus and the Champaign-Urbana area 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 367-8888. Programs on WILL are made possible with support from Sinfonia de Camera, presenting the Beaux Arts Trio's Golden Anniversary on Saturday, October 9th at 7:30 p.m. in the Fullinger Great Hall of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Sinfonia de Camera joins the Beaux Arts Trio as they celebrate 50 years of performing. For more information, call 333-6280.
Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton. Glad you could listen today. Our producers are Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Henry Frayne is at the controls. On November 2nd, voters around Champaign-Urbana will have a choice of three candidates for the 103rd Illinois House District. This week on Focus 580, we will talk with all three candidates. It is our tradition, actually our mandate, to provide airtime for the candidates to speak on whatever issues they would like to address, to introduce themselves to the people we hope will be voting. I assume we're all voting in November, right? But more importantly, this is your chance to talk with each candidate about whatever issues most concern you. So please consider this as your chance to conduct a sort of job interview with the candidates and exercise your right not only to vote, but to engage in dialogue with the people who would like to represent you in public office. During this hour, Focus 580 will be talking with the Republican candidate for the 103rd Illinois House District, Deborah Frank Finan. She has served on the county board, Champaign County Board, that is, since 1992, serving as vice chairman of the county board for four of those years. She is also a practicing attorney and a mother, and we'll talk with her during this hour about her background and experience and what she hopes to bring to the Illinois House of Representatives. As we talk with Deborah Frank Finan during this hour, we invite you into the conversation, as I say. The phone number around Champaign-Urbana to join us, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL also. We have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us around Illinois. If you're listening online, I guess anywhere in the continental U.S., but of course we're talking about a house district here in Illinois. Anyway, the toll-free line is 800-222-9455, so please feel free to join us with your questions. Deborah Frank Finan, good morning.
Good morning, and please call me Deb.
Okay. Thanks, Deb, for being here.
You're welcome.
Just start with, I know the county board isn't your only experience in public office. Would you like to tell us a bit more about your background and experience?
Sure. First, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. As many of you know, I am a local person. I grew up here and attended our local schools. I am 37 years old and married to Chuck Finan. I have one daughter, Carly, which you mentioned. She's three. And I also have two dogs that are very much part of my family. I am a small business owner, and although I started my career in the public sector working as an attorney for the Illinois Pollution Control Board, I then moved into the private sector. I now own my own business. I'm a shareholder in a law firm, and I own a small title insurance company, as well as making and selling dog biscuits at the farmer's market when I'm not campaigning for office. This year, I haven't been doing much of it. With respect to political career, you are right, I have served on the Champaign County Board for 11 years. I have also served as a Republican precinct committeeman. So those are the elected positions that I have held. With respect to my background, I want to just also let you know that I am feeling very grateful for the opportunities that this campaign has brought. Mm-hmm. I have really enjoyed meeting people at events and at their doors. And although I grew up here, I've learned a lot about our community by being a candidate. I've enjoyed talking to people at the farmers market on Saturday mornings. And I also, this race has brought a unique experience for my daughter. We've noticed that she has what my husband calls the political gene. She loves meeting people, throwing candies at parades, and passing out balloons and attending events. And it's really her future and the future of all of our children that's making me want to be a state representative. Mm-hmm. I'd like the opportunity to make some positive change at the state level and to also help our community.
Well, and you know, along the family lines, your mother also has served in public office.
She is. She is the Champaign County Circuit Clerk. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, she was on the Champaign County Board.
Right. Well, very good. We'll ask you more about some issues, and we'll get to that. But we actually have a caller waiting, and I will defer to their question.
Sure.
And that's a Champagne caller on line number one. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to ask Mrs. Finan, what makes you a Republican? And while you're considering that, I'm going to hang up so I can listen. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
What makes me a Republican is that I believe in individual rights, and I believe that the Republican Party at its core really believes that individuals should be making decisions and that government should not be dictating to our citizenry. That's what makes me a Republican. I also believe in making government smaller, that government cannot solve all of our problems, and that we have to be fiscally conservative and mindful of the taxes that people are paying within the community.
That's an interesting question, and I'm sure we could talk a lot longer about what makes somebody a Republican or a Democrat, but that's probably beyond the scope of this particular conversation. But I do want to – you mentioned something about making government smaller, and I just note that as someone who's covered Illinois politics for, 17 years now, no matter who has been in the office in the governor's mansion and in the state capitol, government has gotten bigger. And Republicans, Democrats, there seems to be a momentum sort of on its own. How do you address that? I mean, if that's part of the effort as a Republican, what do you do about that?
Well, I think that when there are opportunities to allow the private sector to take up the slack, that as a Republican, we try to find ways to encourage that, to encourage new businesses and create incentives for them to come in and develop in areas where perhaps government could be but chooses not to. I also believe that part of the problem is it's hard for people to say no. And so people come and they have needs and wants. And as a legislator, I think it's very hard to say to someone, boy, I'm really sympathetic and it's something that needs to be done, but mm-hmm. we just can't do that. And so I think that's why government continues to grow.
Fair enough. We have a couple other calls. Let's go on next to another Champagne listener on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Good morning. I'm calling to find out Deb's position on the Developmental Disabilities Board. I am a parent of a child with developmental disabilities, and I am very concerned about the waiting lists that seem to be continuing to get longer and longer in our community, and just want to know what your thoughts are and what your position is on the Developmental Disabilities Board to see what your feeling is to make sure that as a parent I can be sure that as my daughter is in need of the services and supports of this community that they'll be there.
Okay. Well, a couple things. First, I voted as a county board member to put this issue on the ballot. I feel very strongly that our community deserves the opportunity to make a choice of whether or not to support it. I do support this initiative. And I have publicly supported it. I wear the button when I campaign, the vote yes button. I have carried literature. I have put out yard signs. I understand that by passing this initiative, the voters in this community would be deciding to impose a property tax on themselves. But I also understand that at the state level, we are 46th out of all states for services for developmental disabilities. We have about half the people here in our community are not receiving the services that they need. We have an opportunity in Champaign County to choose to do better than what the state is doing and to take care of providing services for people who very, very much need them. Additionally, there are fiscal reasons to support this because we have individuals who are providing income into our community. When they receive services, they are able to go out for job training. And DSC alone employs about 200 people, and there's about $3.5 million of work that is done in our community. And we also, if we intervene at an early age and we do pre-screening and we are able to provide services to children at an early age, we may lower their need for services as they get older and enter our school system. They may need one aide instead of two aides, which is actually cheaper for us in the long run. Additionally, if we have services available for families who are trying to keep an individual at home, they will be able to get respite care and be able to keep their individual at home longer. But if we don't have services available, they may need to quit their jobs in order to take care of someone. It's an issue I feel passionate about, probably don't want to spend the entire hour talking about it, but I do support it, and I hope that people in this community will understand the need and will support it as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. And indeed, she is wearing the button. She walked in wearing the vote yes button. You see the signs all over town. So I just thought I'd add that. We have several callers. We'll go next to an Urbana listener on line number two. Good morning.
Thank you. I wanted to get the candidate's opinion on the drug war, and if elected, would she be in favor of reopening the prisons to get those jobs back? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess I don't know exactly what you mean with respect to the drug war. I don't know if you're talking about the penalties imposed by that the legislature has chosen to impose on people who are indicted for drug crimes. I'm sorry, but I don't know exactly where we're going with that. With respect to prisons, there was an act passed, and I'm not going to remember the exact name, but I want to say it was, you know, State Facilities Closure Act or something similar to that in this last session that puts together a panel that is to independently go through and look at which prisons need to remain open and which ones either should be closed or need to be enhanced because physically the prisons are debilitating. And so I support that because I believe we do need a bipartisan look at that. I think that the prison closures in this last session, the proposals for them were politically motivated, and that is not how we need to go about looking at the situation, especially when many communities in central and downstate Illinois rely heavily on prisons for jobs and for help in their economies.
Well, if the caller would like to follow up on the drug war question,
sure,
then they can certainly do that. But I do. It was, yeah, not, you know, it's hard to tell exactly what you meant. So if you want to call back, please do. Meanwhile, our lines are full, and we'll go next to another Urbana caller on line number three. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. I've seen quite a bit of your campaign literature, and one thing that strikes me is there never seems to be any indication of what party you're a member of. I'm wondering why you've chosen to do this.
Well, I'm a Republican. I'm an elected Republican and have been for 11 years. And couple things. One is I believe that, I guess I thought incorrectly at the time, there would only be two of us. There are now three of us, so it's more confusing. And I thought with an elected Democrat official, it would be obvious to people which party we were at. Additionally, I am a moderate. And I am somebody who is hoping to appeal to independents. And so I have never, in all the years that I have run, had a big elephant on everything. I am proud to be a Republican, but I also want independents and moderates to feel comfortable voting for me.
Well, I guess that's a reason. Given the senatorial candidate in your party, I shouldn't blame you for running away from your party, but perhaps that's not what you're doing. But more specifically, the previous caller raises a question, I think. Do you think there are alternative methods of punishment, perhaps, to incarceration that we should explore for nonviolent crimes?
Well, I am a strong advocate for mental health issues, and I believe that many, many crimes and many individuals who get caught up in our system are caught up because of underlying mental health issues. So with respect to properly funding to make sure that Illinois is not in the bottom 10 of all states with also with respect to mental health, and that we do allow people to receive services and we get them the help that we need, I think that's an important thing to do. And I think that that is as an alternative to sentence people to mental health treatment and to try to help people through that process is very important.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Following up on that, then, would you regard drug abuse as a public health issue or mental health issue that there could be successful intervention in terms of, you know, addressing the mental health issues or the addiction issues, as opposed to the criminal justice approach, which not to say that there is one hard line between these two, but oftentimes people end up in prison instead of getting treatment.
I think that many times people have dual diagnoses, and so it may be a drug abuse problem and also a mental health problem. Mm-hmm. Champaign County actually has a drug court in place where they do try alternative sentencing and trying to get people into treatment programs. I support those types of programs. We do not want criminals on the street, and certainly if someone has been convicted of a violent crime, we have to use a different method. But if people can be helped and treated and returned back to society as productive members of society, then that type of program is one that I would support.
Okay. We'll go next to another Urbana listener on line number 4. Good morning.
Hi. I was interested in your response to the first caller in terms of defining yourself as a Republican. And as I listened to your answer, I was thinking, you know, if Republicans are the party of individual rights, why are so many Republicans intent on taking away the rights and the general pursuit of happiness of one certain class of taxpaying Americans? And I'm talking about same-sex marriage. Persons who are born with an orientation toward the same sex, through no fault of their own, are not able to take full advantage of the rights that heterosexual Americans have now and have enjoyed for a very, very long time. And now most Republicans are working full-time to change the constitution of this land to take away rights of Americans. I'm very scared of this trend, and all Americans, whether gay or straight, should be very afraid of this administration and a continued Republican domination of our country. I just wonder where you stand on the issue of especially same-sex marriage.
Okay, fair enough.
I favor civil unions, and with respect to calling it marriage as opposed to union, the way I look at it is that we have to make sure that individuals have the same rights that a married couple has. But I want to be respectful of the title of marriage because churches and feel very strongly about that issue. That may change over time, but for now, I believe it's really the role of people who are advocates to make sure that those rights get established. And I have a friend who likes to say to me, well, you know, only Nixon could go to China. And when she says that, what she really means is that having a Republican who is willing to fight for those issues and who can explain within her party why she believes that that is important is an important step in this process and into making sure that those rights are given to gay and lesbian people within the community. Additionally, as an attorney, I have worked with clients to basically create as many of those rights as we can through contractual means because the state does not allow for it. And I have seen firsthand how hard that is. You know, you're worried about, will I have access if my partner is ill and in the hospital? What will happen to our home? What happens to the property we have acquired together? And so I do believe that allowing for those rights in, you know, through a civil union is very important. And then we do have to work at a federal level because you'll have this dual system where you may be recognized in Illinois, but then do you file a joint tax return at the federal level? And so, yes, work does need to be done on that, and that's something that I am happy to help work on.
Well, I guess I would just like to say on the religious issue that we do have separation of church and state, and I think that should be respected. And then also that I've been with my partner for 23 years, and I fully understand what you're talking about in terms of trying to set up alternative arrangements for even trying to secure some of the rights that you know, heterosexuals have that they can access through marriage, and you can never get even close to what those rights are through those documents and all those hassles that you have to go through. So I'm just hoping that you're encouraging more Republicans to at least move toward the status of civil union as you're discussing. I guess I'm happy to hear that you're at least going that far, but I'm hoping that more Republicans are being encouraged to take that stance rather than, you know, so many of them are going not just, we don't want marriage, but we also don't want civil unions or anything that can even be construed to be close to. And that's the type that I'm very, very afraid of. So thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Quick follow-up. It's possible that in the next few years there will be a constitutional amendment to essentially illegalize same-sex marriage, to basically establish that marriage can only be between a man and a woman. If there is such a constitutional amendment passed by Congress, it'll go to the states for ratification. If you're in the Illinois legislature, is your vote clear on that? Which way?
I won't vote for it.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks for that answer. Okay. We'll go next to a Champagne listener on line number one. Good morning.
Yes, I'd like to ask Ms. Finem if, while she was on the county board, did she ever vote to cut public health money? And I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay.
Good question. I believe that I supported budgets. I don't want to say that they actually cut it, because I believe that their levy grew over the years, but may not allowed them to have obtained their entire levy. So I'm sorry, I don't have the specifics in front of me, but it is possible that I did that, and it probably depends on how you construe the vote, whether allowing them to grow some but not their full extent is a cut or not.
It does get rather complicated, and I certainly, you know, can sympathize with someone put in a position to answer that question. And there's actually a whole lot of tax issues I'd like to raise, and maybe I'll defer to callers if they'd like to raise those as well. But I will throw out this, that there is a continuing sort of conflict and an attempt to deal with the imbalance between property taxes and income tax and the way that we fund our local institutions, our state institutions. And I wondered if you wanted to say a few words about your views, because I know you have some things that you've articulated on your website about the way that we fund government, particularly education, and the balance between property and income taxes.
Thank you for the opportunity. I actually see this as a major issue in the campaign, maybe the defining issue in the campaign, and that is that I support education funding reform. And with respect to K through 12 education, what that means is legislation similar to House Bill 750, which is currently pending, that proposes that we do a tax swap, and that education funding transfers. It will still have some property tax base, but it will mostly then become an income tax. And the top 40% of earners will see a graduated income tax increase up to the top earners receiving about a 5% income tax increase. They will also see a 20% at a minimum property tax decrease. In some communities, it will be as much as 25%. The legislation as currently constituted also includes some business tax increases and some retirement tax increases, but it's also estimated that it will bring in over $1 billion of money than it will need. And so I see that as negotiating room on those areas, which I do not support, and to either lower those taxes or eliminate them completely from the plan. But I do think it's important, because if you look at our Urbana schools and our Champaign schools, they're both deficit spending, and actually 85% of the school districts in the state of Illinois, over 85%, are deficit spending. It really shows the problem. We are not adequately funding schools.
Mm-hmm. This idea has been floated a number of times over the years, these sort of leveling out between the property tax and the income tax. I guess that's one way to put it. Another way to put it would be to raise income taxes and lower property taxes. Stanley Eikenberry report recommended this. I remember Don Clark Netsch campaigned on a platform of that, and essentially that was probably the demise of her campaign as governor, and in addition to other factors perhaps. That's impossible to say in retrospect, but it has been politically very, difficult, to say the least, to get this idea passed by the state legislature. Do you think that we're perhaps entering a time where it's going to have some viability?
We absolutely have to be, because when you look at the state of our schools, as I said, over 85% of them are deficit spending, and you see the needs that are out there. We have a $1 billion structural deficit. We spend $1 billion more on K-12 education in the state than we bring in to pay for it. We have a broken system, and we have to care about this issue. With respect to it being politically unpopular, of course that's true. Most people who are running for office or are currently elected don't have the courage and stand up and say, you know, I'm going to do this, and it may mean an income tax increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, we also live in a community where, for example, in Champaign, tax caps failed. It passed the county as a whole, but we have a community that cares about our schools and our education system, and I believe that they will support this plan because we need to fix the education funding.
Okay. Our lines are full. Let's go on and talk some more callers. Let me reintroduce our guests. We're a little past our midpoint here with Deborah Frank Finan. She is the Republican candidate for the 103rd District of the Illinois House of Representatives. We're taking your calls. That's the point of this. And the numbers again around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Another Champaign listener next on line number 3. Good morning.
Hi. Mm-hmm. You said earlier that you're a Republican because you believe in smaller government and less taxes. But your actions on the county board have seemed to me, from what I've seen at least, to be different. You voted in favor of a tax increase on cats, which I really disagree with. But I was wondering if there's any other tax increases that you voted for while you've been on the county board. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, I didn't bring my 11-year record for the county board with me. I'm sure that my opponent has pulled that, and you'll hear all about any tax increase that I've ever supported. With respect to the CAT fee, it's actually a user fee associated with the cost of licensing cats in Champaign County. And I realize that it's unpopular. I also believe it's a public health issue, and it's a fairness issue when you have our county is going out and they are actually retrieving stray cats, but cat owners are not paying for that. And I don't believe that that ought to be paid for out of general corporate funds, nor do I believe that it ought to be paid for by dog owners. So that's where that one came from. I have voted to put measures on the ballot and have allowed the community to decide whether or not to increase taxes, similar to this developmental disabilities board issue. I really have a lot of faith in the voters in this community, and it is my feeling that putting issues on the ballot and allowing them to make a decision about the kinds of things that they want to support is okay, and I'm proud to have been a part of that.
Okay. Well, you know, just to put a fine point on it, the Developmental Disabilities Initiative would be a tax increase. And
yeah.
So, you know, one could claim that, you supported the tax increase. On the other hand, it is a referendum.
Correct. And there have been several referendums over the time that I've been on the county board. Public health is a great example. The caller called in and asked about it. That was placed on the ballot, and the community had an opportunity to decide whether or not they wanted to support that for Champaign County.
Our lines remain full. Let's go on and talk with our next listener, someone on a cell phone on line number 1. Good morning.
Hi, my question for the candidate today is, does she support tort reform?
Tort reform as in?
Are you talking about with respect to medical malpractice?
That would be one kind. Tort reform in general. I mean, it's a hot topic right now, and as a
liability.
Correct.
Yeah. For businesses and individuals, et cetera.
That's correct.
Okay.
Sure. Well, with respect to medical malpractice, I do think we've got to do something. We have doctors who are leaving the state. We have medical costs that are going up extraordinarily. And, you know, if you look to neighboring states like Indiana, their rates are significantly lower, and our doctors are actually leaving to go there. One of the things that Indiana does is they have a board that reviews cases prior to them being filed. In Illinois, we have an affidavit that has to be filled out by a doctor that can be kind of anybody that you send the case to. They review it and fill out the affidavit and send it back. In Indiana, they actually have a board that reviews it. The board has doctors, lay people, as well as lawyers on it, and they sort of provide a clearinghouse for cases before they go. With respect to, I assume the caller is also asking about punitive damage caps. I'm concerned about those, particularly because I want to make sure that people are fairly compensated. And any damage caps that are instituted would need to make sure that they have cost of living adjustments in them and that they are at a level that fairly compensates someone who is actually injured by gross negligence. So although I do support tort reform, I believe that we have to be careful as we move forward with it, and especially with caps. We need to make sure that any injured people are fairly compensated.
Okay. So that gets to the caller's question. We'll go next to a listener on line number 4 in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Good morning.
If you're a Republican because you think that you can avoid deficits, if you just look at Bush's $445 billion deficit, and which creates an unbalanced budget, it's certainly the Republicans are not fiscally responsible. And also, certainly the Republicans don't support rights, because you have the Bill of Rights, but the but the Republicans voted for the Patriot Act, which says a president can detain a person without access to lawyers.
Okay, there's a couple of questions that the caller raised, and certainly those are at the federal level. And certainly, you know, anything at the federal level obviously affects us here in Illinois. What do you think?
Well, I think with respect to Illinois, the state of our economy here in Illinois, we have a Democrat governor and a Democrat-controlled General Assembly. And their solution to the budget crisis was to raise just about every tax and fee on businesses that they could find. And then when that money came into a specific fund for example, if it came in for a permit on water pollution, instead of using that money to fund IEPA or water pollution permits, they yanked that money out and dumped it into the general corporate fund. That is the type of fiscal mismanagement that I do not support. And so I believe that, yes, you can be Republican and you can be fiscally conservative. I do believe that that's what our party stands for.
Okay. We have a couple callers waiting and room for others if you'd like to join us. I'll mention the phone numbers again. We're talking this morning with Deborah Frank Finan, the Republican candidate for the 103rd District of the Illinois House. If you would like to ask questions of our guest, you can call us around Champaign-Urbana at 333-9455. Toll free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Next up, I believe a Champaign listener on line number 2. Good morning.
Yes, hi. I would just like to follow up with what you just said about the House, about the legislature and the governor being controlled as Democrats. How do you think that you as a Republican would be able to reach out to these leaders the same way that Representative Jacobson has been able to? And I'm thinking in particular of how Representative Jacobson got a special hearing called on the Health Alliance issue, and that hearing actually led to Health Alliance being reinstated as a health care provider here.
Well, I think that's kind of a two-part question. With respect to Health Alliance, I think that everybody in this community needs to be aware that they were reinstated through November, which is conveniently right when the election is. So everybody may feel secure that Health Alliance is reinstated, but it's not over, folks. And so I think that it's still an issue out there that people need to be aware of. With respect to working with people from the other side of the aisle, I have done that for 11 years on the county board. I have had one county board member, past county board member, actually tell me that when she was in the minority, I was the one she called because I was one of the reasonable ones. And so I have a history of working with people on both sides of the aisle. I also think that because our government in Illinois right now is run by the Democrats, it gives me some freedom because I don't have to worry about voting the party line with respect to issues. So I can say to them, no, that's not good for my district, and I don't have to worry about party repercussions relating to that.
Did I get your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thanks for the call. I do want to just follow up on the Health Alliance issue because it's I know it's an issue that you also have said that concerns you. What can be done from the standpoint of the state legislature as say you're elected? What would you want to try to do about it?
Well, the Health Facilities Planning Board is something that needs to be looked at. It is a very odd way to. And that's not directly related to Health Alliance, but it's how hospitals and nursing homes, we dealt with it at Champaign County board level when the nursing home petition was pending. They are a government-appointed body that sort of decides where competition can and cannot be on those issues in the state of Illinois. With respect to Health Alliance, there are many, many issues. It is my understanding that it's really about trying to move to a self-insured pool and kind of change the way that we fund health care for our state employees in the state of Illinois. And in the long run, I believe that that's actually a more costly way to do it. But the governor is proposing it because in the short run, it allows the float to happen because you don't have to pay until you're billed as opposed to paying monthly, which we do with agencies like Health Alliance. We divide out by 12 how much it's going to cost throughout the year, and we make a monthly payment. So there will be a float in there, which would allow money to be back in the budget for this year and make our budget look better. All that means is we pay for it in the following fiscal year and probably will make our costs climb higher. So I think that what I would do is suggest that self-insurance is not the way to go on this issue and continue to work with managed care to help bring down costs. We've got to do some things at a state level, medical malpractice reform. We need to start working with our providers and also our insurance companies to keep these costs lower. The state rose by about 16% this past year in premiums they're paying. And the county, we rose at 25% this year. So it's an issue that's got to be worked on.
Okay. A couple callers waiting. We'll go next to another Champaign listener on line number 3. Good morning.
Hi. I was wondering if the candidate could talk about her whether she would support allowing ATVs in our state parks.
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about that. I do not support them in our existing state parks. And that's a fallacy that my opponent likes to get out there for everybody to hear. But what I do support is that new facilities being built and making sure that that erosion controls are put in and that we have safe facilities. There is a fee that users pay on licenses for ATVs that is supposed to go toward building ATV trails. And it seems to me that if the state has imposed this fee and told people that they are going to build these trails, that we need to follow through and do what we said we were going to do. And so the language would be changed to allow DNR to have parks that are ATV parks. People are concerned because they think that means it will be existing parks, but I don't believe that that's the intent of it.
But aren't you endorsed by ABATE, the organization that pushed legislation to allow ATVs in public lands?
What ABATE has tried to push is to allow DNR to own ATV parks, which would be public lands. It is being misconstrued to say that, you know, they're going to go into our natural areas and destroy them. And yes, I am endorsed by them, and I'm proud of that endorsement. Again, it's an individual rights issue. They are a group who stands very strongly for individual rights, and I'm proud of that endorsement.
Does the caller want to follow up?
Well, I think ATVs are quite destructive to public lands, and you know, I'm all for people having the right to do what they want, but when you're impacting other people in a pretty negative way and wildlife and the land itself, I don't see that as a tiff.
Okay.
I do support the money being used. As I said, people pay into this fund to create trails, and it seems to me that they ought to have a place that they're allowed to ride their ATVs.
But they're not going to go storming through Kickapoo Park or Allerton Park or places like that.
Correct. And I wouldn't support that.
Yeah. Okay. Another caller waiting, an Urbana listener. And actually, we have about, moving into our last 10 minutes or so, if you'd like to join us in the time remaining, we'll try to get you in. 333-9455. Toll free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. And our guest again, Deborah Frank Finan, the Republican candidate for the 103rd District of the Illinois House of Representatives. And let me also just mention real quickly that we will be speaking with the other candidates in this particular district. Naomi Jacobson, the Democratic incumbent, will be on Thursday at 10 o'clock. And on Friday at 10 o'clock, we'll talk with Tom Mackeman. He's the Socialist Equity Party candidate for the 103rd Illinois House District. So hope you can tune in for that as well. We'll go next to an Urbana listener on line number one. Good morning.
Yes. You mentioned you lean toward the fiscal conservative side of things. Do you support the state possibly chipping in $80 million for a Champaign-Urbana tram? Do you think Champaign-Urbana needs a tram? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
I don't believe that the case has been made at this point for a tram. And so I wouldn't support that at this time. I do support public transportation, and I think that it's important for our environment, but also for the way that our city grows to have good public transportation. With respect to the tram, I think that issue has pretty much died at the local level, so I don't know that it will really be an issue, and the case has never been made with respect to why and how we need it at this time. I would say that the people who thought of the idea, I like the idea that people think of our community in a different way and have a bigger vision about what we could possibly be. And I applaud them for that. And I hope that even if there is public disagreement on issues, that people still feel like they can come forward and think about this community in new and different ways and provide good ideas or different ideas.
Yeah, there's a lot that we could follow up on there. You know, one of the ideas of the people, you know, who wanted to propose this tram was that there is federal money that could be brought in to pay for the vast majority of it. Yes, it would be very, very expensive for us locally. We'd have to raise a lot of money, but there would also be federal matching funds, and the economic development impact, it is argued, would be tremendous for the community. And just to add to that, I mean, you can feel free to address mm-hmm. that as well. I think that Champaign-Urbana is still trying to find a way to address the growth potential of the community and also the need to develop a tax base to pay for, you know, the public schools and a variety of other things that obviously, you know, go with running two municipalities here. In a major university, and struggling with, you know, the retail industry, the growth of people who are concerned about Walmart coming in and running the small mom and pop stores out of town, and couple that with the dependence on property tax for mm-hmm. so much of the tax base. And as a legislature, you're in a position, or would be in a position, to address some of the policy issues that pertain to that. And I guess, you know, this is a large question, but how do you look at that? And what would you hope that we could do as a community to address those problems?
Boy, there was so much in there. I'm having a hard time answering
you. Yeah.
The idea that it's federal money, so it's free, I don't buy into.
Okay.
That's still tax dollars that could be spent on other things or other projects. I think because we never had a full hearing on this issue, it's really hard to prejudge it.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the economic development potential, and I saw some information about other communities where that had happened, Oregon, mm-hmm. Portland, Oregon, I believe.
Yes.
And I did follow this and meet with city council members and meet with Bill Volk at the MTD and try to understand the issues that were involved. But we have not had any specific studies that would point to, gee, this is, if we invest this much money, this is what's going to happen in our community. And so I don't think it's fair to, you know, the issue has kind of died before we ever had the information to make a decision on it. I'm not sure what the rest of your question
okay.
was.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I guess it goes back to the issue of you know, the reliance on the property tax to fund so much of the city and state services, including
sure.
education. And, you know, therefore driving the need for retail development as a way and building the tax base essentially for
sure.
the property tax base.
With respect to property taxes, property taxes do not tax wealth. I think they were intended to tax wealth, but you have retirees who are in their homes on a fixed income who are struggling to stay in their home, and they're being taxed with property taxes. And so I think with respect to education funding reform, if we do the property tax reduction and an income tax increase, it more fairly addresses, you know, people who actually have the wealth paying within into the education fund. Additionally, what that hopefully will do is it will help to begin to fix some of the other budgets within the state and may relieve some of that other property tax pressure, because right now we've got a $1 billion deficit in education, which means we steal from all the other areas of the budget in the state to sock that education hole. And so if we can fix the structure of education funding, we ought to also be freeing up money at a state level that will then make it easier to not rely on property taxes. I know at the county level, things get harder for us when things get harder for the state, not just because of economic downturn, but also because the state starts paying for less of their share of things that they're supposed to pay for at the county level.
We have about 5 minutes left with Deborah Frank Finan, the Republican candidate for the 103rd District of the Illinois House of Representatives. If you'd like to call us real quick, we'll get you in, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Elsewhere, 800-222-9455. I also wanted to ask you about agriculture, obviously a major concern with Champaign County and the state of Illinois. Do you have particular interests in terms of policy with regard to farms and agriculture?
Well, I certainly don't support the tax that the governor proposed that would tax agricultural inputs, basically raising taxes on farmers. And that was proposed in this last session. It did not happen, but I do not support that. I think agriculture is a big industry throughout the state, but especially in Champaign County. We don't have a whole lot of agriculture specifically in the 103rd. It's pretty urban, but we cannot deny that we're impacted by agriculture in this community.
Okay. We have another caller on line number 4 in Urbana. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Good morning.
Yes.
You identified yourself as someone who believes in small government and that people should accept responsibility for themselves, and yet you haven't identified any single program that you think should be cut. You know, and in fact, you support the expansion of government, which I personally agree with, but it's interesting you support the Developmental Disabilities Board. You're concerned about prison closures and the economic impact of that on downstate communities. So could you name five state programs totaling, say, $2 billion that you think should be cut in a move towards smaller government? Thank you.
Okay.
I can't sit here and list them off. I think it's a great question, and if the caller wants to either call my campaign office at 766-3123 1-800-529 or email me off the website. I'm happy to have a dialogue with him on this issue. I apologize. I'm just not prepared to sit here and give you $2 billion worth of cuts. What I can tell you is that one of the areas that I've identified, and I think the state has identified as a huge resource, and I don't want to say drain, but a huge issue within the state budget is Medicaid. It is growing at 8% per year, and soon it will be 61% of our budget. I know that the Senate is holding hearings throughout the state trying to figure out what can we do to provide services to those who truly need them, while at the same time trying to find a way to fix the Medicaid crisis. And there are a couple things that I think might help with that. We should look at the possibility of going to managed care for Medicaid. States around us do that, and their costs are significantly lower. If you do that, you have to make sure that there are providers available and that people have access to services. So it would take more than just kind of waving a magic wand and saying, you know, now we have managed care. Additionally, there is an FMAP score, which is the federal matching score for how much they pay in when we have a Medicaid recipient. And the state of Illinois is significantly lower than our surrounding states. And so we need to be working with Congressman Johnson and others in this state to try and raise our FMAP score so that the feds will help to pay for the burden and benefits of Medicaid in the state of Illinois.
Okay. We just have about a minute and a half left, and I'm sorry to leave this this question to last with so little time. But, you know, if you're elected in November, a lot of people here at the University of Illinois are going to be looking to you for help, because we've faced, you know, basically 3 years of flat funding and a lot of pain. What would you hope to do about that?
Well, there are a couple things that I would hope to do. One is that we need to recognize that the university is the economic engine for not only our community, again, the state, much like agriculture, although so much more important. We need to look at the fact that cuts to the university have long-term effects, and we need to explain that to the other legislators and to the governor. There is being floated an idea with education funding reform, if it does bring in more dollars that are necessary for K through 12 education, that a portion of that money or all of that money, because it all should be for education, go to higher education funding and start to make a dent in the budget issues that we have at the state of Illinois and other higher education institutes in the state. I would point out, though, it's not just the University of Illinois. In this last budget year, although you were held flat, that still meant that there were layoffs. And the surveys, which are really our research arm for environmental issues, but also partners with the University of Illinois, were cut by approximately $2 million in this last budget year. And my opponent voted for the bill that cut the surveys. So I would be very cognizant that the surveys are part of the university and part of this community, and I would be working to make sure that funding is restored.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time, and I'm really sorry to a couple callers that we didn't include in our conversation. We'll continue to talk with candidates in the 103rd Illinois House District on Thursday, Naomi Jacobson at 10, and on Friday, Tom Mackerman at 10. And if you'd like to know more about our guest, Deborah Frank Finan, her website is www.electdeb.com. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Programming on AM 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at AmericanClassifieds.com. Today's programming is made possible in part by a grant from the Living Yoga Center in downtown Champaign, offering a variety of classes designed to help students bring balance into their lives by finding strength and serenity through the practice of yoga. Registration is not required, and individuals can join at any time. For more information, call 384-5800.